Well, welcome back to Coast AM, where I feel sorry for Shirley MacLaine. She doesn't have the luxury that I have. I have, and we all have, what are called cough drop buttons. So if we're going to cough, you hit the button, and you don't hear anything. Like, watch this as I talk, and it comes back in. You see how it just shuts it right off? She doesn't have that luxury. When a guest is at home, they're stuck with their phone. And that's what they've got. So she had that coughing fit. So we're going to check back with her a little later just to make sure she's doing okay. You worry about that when somebody starts coughing away like that. In a moment, we'll be talking about past lives. Your soul remembers. Joanne DiMaggio joins us in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you a little bit about Joanne DiMaggio. A teacher, a member of the International Association for Regression Research and Therapies, has been professionally pursuing past life research and therapy for more than 25 years. Now, she headed her own past life research center outside of Chicago, and she took that to Virginia back in 1995. She's the author of the book, Your Soul Remembers. And here's Joanne on Coast to Coast. Hey, Joanne, good to have you with us.
Thanks, George. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you're not going to go coughing on me, are
you? One never knows.
You never know. You never know. Gosh, yeah. I felt sorry for Shirley, man. Once you get into that coughing spell, it's difficult to stop.
Oh, I know that so well. And I'm really glad to be following Shirley, by the way, because she really was the person who set me on this path in 1987 when her book, Out on a Limb, became a miniseries. And I think that actually was the big wake-up call for thousands of metaphysicians across the globe. So it's an honor to follow her today.
And one of the things I really enjoy about her, Joanne, is she sticks her neck out.
I mean,
she's,
exactly.
She's not afraid to tell people how she feels, and she pursues it, and she goes for it. And we need a lot of people like that, not only in the field of the paranormal and supernatural, but I think we should have that in all walks of life.
Right.
You've done a great job with your soul remembers. Let's go back a little bit more. Even before the involvement of Shirley MacLaine inspiring you, were you interested in this when you were a little girl?
I was interested in Edgar Cayce when I was very young. The first book, I started reading metaphysical books, I think, when I was probably in my early teens, and read Jess Stern and Ruth Montgomery. And then the first book I read about reincarnation was The Search for Bridie Murphy. And I grew up Catholic, and so the whole concept of reincarnation answered a lot of those questions that my Catholic upbringing did not. And it just seemed to make a lot more sense to me. It was a lot more of a logical approach to the way the universe operated in the way I envisioned a loving God. So yes, I was interested in it from the early time. And I also had a lot of inklings about my own past lives as a child. But, of course, I didn't know that then that that's what that was. But looking back, I can see that there were quite a few clues that were coming through. And I didn't quite put two and two together until I was a lot older.
That inspiration, though, affects all of us when we're little, and we just keep growing with it. I was a fan of Edgar Cayce. I read a number of his books when I was younger, and I was just hooked on this guy's ability to do what he did, and it was very, very fascinating. It's interesting how it touches our lives, isn't it?
It is. He was a remarkable human being, and I continue to learn from him, and the wisdom of his teachings is just really incredible, and it continues to inspire me today.
You have involved yourself in a number of studies and in research groups. You've got a master's in transpersonal studies from Atlantic University. That was one of Cayce's.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the curriculum on something like that. What do they teach you?
There's a variety of classes that you could take through Atlantic University, and if anybody's interested, they could access their catalog online. I in the years that I was there, I was taking a lot of courses about the KC teachings. I also was in the creative writing track that they offered. So I was learning how to do writing from a deeper place. They have courses on dream studies and just about anything you'd be interested in. I took a near-death course there. So I did it over a period of 3 years, and it's an online home study. And they were probably the three most empowering and inspiring years of my life. And they came at a difficult time for me personally and really sort of re-immersed me in the KC teachings and philosophy and got me back on track. And it was just an absolute wonderful experience. And because I always wanted to get a master's degree, but I didn't know what I wanted to get it in. And so I was, I thought, well, I'm too old to go back to school. I hadn't been in school for over 30 years. But I was absolutely amazed at how well I fit in with this group of people. The mentors there, the teachers were very inspiring to me, encouraging me. And I just felt like this was just the greatest thing that I'd ever done. So to get a master's in transpersonal studies, I thought was a dream come true for me, and I enjoyed it very much.
Good for you. Was it easy to adapt to pick that up?
You know, it was, because the material, it was like I had come home, and the material was familiar to me. And so you read it and you work with your mentors, and I was already a fairly good writer, so I was able to write the essays out fairly clearly and just really enjoyed that. And a lot of the essays that I wrote were based on research that I had done on the KC readings, and I then turned them into articles that I published. So it was just at the time of immersing yourself in the great wisdom of this incredible person, I managed to get through school without any serious difficulties. And actually, at the end, I was named the Outstanding Graduate of the Year, which was a big honor for me. So it was just a wonderful time.
Joanne, tell me what you believe a soul is.
I just believe a soul, as a spark of God. We all emanated from the same source at the same time. We decided that we wanted to see what life was like in a physical body. And I know you've heard this, and your listeners have heard this countless times, that we're spiritual beings inhabiting a physical body. So we came to this planet to experience everything that there was to experience in a physical body. And with the goal of actually just returning to source. And so that's what our path has been. That's what all of our lifetimes are leading us to. It's just an accumulation of earthly experiences, physical experiences, learning about emotions and dealing with various aspects of what it means to be a human being.
Do you think if we had the ability to look at a soul with a high-powered microscope somehow, that we would see the same elements that might make up the physical realm?
In terms of what?
Atoms and electrons and protons.
I don't think so. I can't imagine that it would be something that we could ever see or equate to anything in the physical.
But there's got to be some substance to it, don't you think?
I would think there would have to be, because it's a living, breathing part of us. It is who we are. It's the one thing that stays with us from lifetime to lifetime, accumulating all these experiences. So, but it's an interesting question.
Your title, of course, Your Soul Remembers, we'll get into that, but I'm fascinated by the subtitle of the book. accessing your past lives through soul writing. Right. What is soul writing?
Soul writing is a written form of meditation. It's sort of a channeling that it accesses information through writing from a higher source that emanates from your soul. So it's, you go through the same process you do when you are going into a meditative or altered state of consciousness. And I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I meditate, I may get something really, really profound during the course of that meditation. But then, you know, it affects me deeply at that moment. But then as time goes by, I forget it. I forget what it was. I forget how it impacted me. I forget that it was setting me on another course, direction. But with soul writing, you're actually going it a step further. You're taking that meditation, listening to that deep, small voice within, and you are writing it down. And you are able then to reread it at any time, go back to it, recapture it. And its meaning changes in time, which is a fascinating process. So that's what it is. It's connecting to your higher source, asking a deep a question, or just simply saying, "Is there any guidance you can give me?" And then letting that come through you and out on the written, out on your paper, or if you're working on a computer, on your computer screen.
You've talked about soul writing as a phone home card. What do you mean by that?
Well, I had this image one time. I use the analogy that Earth is a school, and that as souls we come here to learn, and that we review our previous lifetimes with our council of guides, and that we decide on what our curriculum is going to be. Okay, you didn't quite pass that class on responsibility the last time around, so you're going to sign up for that again in the next lifetime. So we get our curriculum all lined up. And then I pictured one time of souls as little children with their backpacks on. Because, you know, when we're in spirit, we're so anxious to get back to the earth and to the physical body. And then many of us, when we're in the physical body, can't wait to get back to spirit. But I pictured a little soul with a backpack on, getting ready to make that return. And then Mother, Father, God, whoever you want to say it is, comes up to you, those little soul, and says, "Now, wait a minute. Before you go down there, you know, you may run into some problems. There might be some issues that you can't resolve or questions that you have, and you're not going to be able to find an answer. So we've put something in your backpack for you that will enable you to get in touch with us. Now, don't forget, we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's your very own phone home card. So when you go down to the earth, if you get into trouble, you can't get any answers, we're here for you. Just use that card." So, of course, we come down to the earth, forget that we have the little card in our backpack, and then, of course, there comes a time when we have some issues. And, you know, we go to our family, we go to our friends, we may go into counseling, we may go to our ministers. We cannot get unstuck. We can't find our way out of this issue that we're dealing with. And then we remember, aha, I have that phone home card. And then we use it. We actually tap into the guidance that's available to us all the time. And so that's why I thought of soul writing is your phone home card.
And it's free. You
and it's
call
free.
Home free.
Right.
You can't beat that.
Right.
The soul itself, when it leaves the physical body, and then it kind of hovers and goes to wherever it goes, and then comes back in a reincarnated form, does it always come back, in your opinion, or does it just stay in that other level?
I think it depends on what you've accomplished. If you feel as though you have accomplished everything there is to accomplish in the physical body, then no, you don't come back. Or you may actually go, Casey talked a lot about, you know, going to other planets, that this was not the only place that we were learning. And so there are cases of, I know Casey gave readings, and I forgot, it was a very small number of all the readings he did of the souls that he said that they did not need to incarnate again. But I do believe if you still have issues that you need to work out, you're going to come back. I know I'm going to come back. So that level of of perfection, of having accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish here, takes many millenniums. And but we do at some point reach that moment in our long history in which we stay with our Creator, which is our home.
Right? And the fact, Joanne, that you're even discussing, I think, souls and growth tells me that you've advanced yourself to a much higher level than most. I think the mere fact that so many people are listening to this program right now, interested, getting into this, understanding it, also tells me that they're at a level that they're really close to not coming back again. Would you agree?
I agree that I've met many of those souls and through ARE and various other organizations that I've belonged to and had the privilege of working with, especially the people that have gone through a near-death experience. That is a very unique group of people who, they've chosen to come back, but they as a group energy, are beyond anything I've ever experienced. I was at the International Association for Near-Death Studies annual conference, in Washington, D.C., over Memorial Day weekend. Labor Day. I'm getting my holidays mixed up.
That's right.
They were, I had never experienced a group like that. The most loving human beings. They, when they met me, they acted as if they had known me forever. I just reveled in that unconditional love for the entire weekend. There are quite a few of them out there that are coming to the conclusion of their earthly existence.
How do we explain demons and ghosts with souls? Are they all almost one and the same?
This is an area that I'm not really well versed in, but I know from my studies that there are detached entities out there who have not made their way back to the light. They're confused. They're kind of hanging around the earth plane. There are many that are trying to attach themselves to humans, to human beings that are alive right now. Casey talked about that a lot, especially when he talked about the dangers of automatic writing versus inspirational writing, and we could talk about that a little later. As far as where they're coming from and what their agenda is, that isn't an area of my expertise, but I do know that they do exist.
They do, and I'm a believer in good and evils. A lot of people aren't, when they believe in, souls and reincarnations, they don't think there's evil at all. It's just a different plane. But I keep looking at so many humans on this planet, Joanne, who are evil and despicable and do these horrible things to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that their soul is going to be put in the same batch as the rest of the good people. Can you?
Well, they evolve, and these are all karmic lessons that they have signed up for.
All right, hold on right there. Let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest tonight, Joanne DiMaggio, we're talking about her work, Your Soul Remembers. Hey, by the way, last week, the highest number of free viewing for our Beyond Belief television show. So take advantage of it. Everybody's gearing up to watch our Jerome Corsi interview on the JFK assassination. So you can go to beyondbelief.com and sign up 10 days free, but you can look at Corsi's interview with us. He did a remarkable job, and it's showing this week, beyondbelief.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Joanne DiMaggio with us. Got to ask you, Joanne, any relation to the old Yankee Clipper, Joe?
No, but I used to tell everybody when they asked me that I would just tease them and say, yeah, and you should have seen my Aunt Marilyn.
I love it. Okay, so we're talking about evil, and we're talking about why those souls that have come from evil people seem to migrate with the good souls. and get your reaction to that.
Well, you know, reincarnation teaches that we've been all races, all sexes. We've been in very different social experiences. We've been the villain. We've been the victim. And we simply change roles. And that is our karmic path. Casey did a lot of readings on people that had had done some horrific things in previous lifetimes, and I've had some clients who've come to me with similar stories. And in this lifetime or in a subsequent lifetime, that karma gets balanced. So there was one that Casey talked about who had done horrific things to people, had been in the military ages ago and had just tortured people and blinded them with a hot poker. And in this life, he was blind. The universe is a place of balance and harmony. And when things get too far to one end, that pendulum swings over to the other till it comes down to the middle. And so that's really what reincarnation is about. And that's what karma is. Karma is the law of cause and effect. And so many times those souls are either working out something from another lifetime that set this up, or the very things that they're doing, how they impact other people and how those other people are responding could be the lesson. So there's actually a logical reason for all of this, and it really just depends on your perspective.
Well, that's a good point. I just don't want people who are evil on this planet to think they're going to get a free ride on the other side.
Oh, no, absolutely not. What's waiting for them is far more severe than anything that we could think of for them. So, our desire for justice on this side of the veil is one thing, but the universe operates in a system of checks and balances, and everything gets recorded in the Akashic record, and there's no way to really to erase that. You could live a life by the law of grace and transcend a lot of that karma, but it's still there for you to balance out in some way in a next life.
So when you talk about your soul remembers, and let's assume you had 15 or 20 past lives, you know, you lived anywhere from 20 to 80, you know, does the soul remember every one of those 15 or 20 past lives and locks it in?
Oh, it's all in there. It's absolutely all in there. Obviously, you're not going to be able to access all of that in one lifetime. You would go crazy. And that isn't your purpose here. Your purpose really is to work on what you're working on in the here and now. But that information is available to you when and if you need it to try to understand some of the issues that you're dealing with now. So it's like, as I said, in the Akashic Records, it's all written down. So you have a book of life, as Casey called it. And you can envision yourself going into a big library in the sky where there's a supercomputer that keeps track of everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, every thought, any intention you had, is all recorded, and that information is available to you at any time. And your soul is very, very wise and knows how much information to give you. So I discourage people from working on or becoming past life junkies, as I call them, because they can't get enough. They keep coming back over and over again. And then it becomes more like entertainment for them rather than the sacred work that it is. Casey, when he did a reading, a life reading for somebody, he would give them maybe three or four lifetimes that were pertinent to what they were dealing with right now. And it isn't always something that you did in the life immediately prior to this one. In my research, some of these people were dealing with lifetimes that were several thousand years apart.
But I wonder, Joanne, if in those past lives, in our current life, if we all have a little snippet of those past lives, whatever it might be, but some little essence of whatever that individual might have been in that past life is carried on in the soul. So let's say by the time we're where we are now, we have little pieces of 20 past lives in us that make up who we are. Is
exactly
that possible?
Oh, absolutely. You are the sum total of everything and everyone, everything that has ever happened to you is who you are right now. So that's absolutely how it works. It isn't. I think of it as a bank account. So that when you, and it's not always bad things. People think that karma is always a bad thing. It's not. It can be very positive because you have a lot of talents and abilities in this lifetime that you may have originated in another lifetime. I feel like I have, writing is in my karmic DNA. Where did that come from? Nobody in my family was a writer. Nobody did anything especially creative. So where did all of that come from? And so we can trace a lot of the talents, abilities, as well as the issues that we're dealing with from a previous lifetime.
I think the old adage applies, what comes around goes around. It's like, you know, karma. If you throw out good karma, it's going to come back. If you throw out bad karma, that's going to come back too.
Exactly. Right. That's all part of that law of checks and balances.
Go through an exercise with us about soul writing and how people can work on that in order to, of course, dig up more information about a past life.
Well, there are several steps to it, and I'll give those to your listeners right now. These are meant to help you to get started. So this is for people that have actually never done this before. And by the way, everyone can do this. It does not require any kind of a special talent or ability. So the first thing would be to find a sacred place that you can work out of, something where there's quiet and privacy and soft lighting and a comfortable place. Those are the primary requirements. And if you like, you could set the stage. You could surround yourself with items that just enable you to go into a deeper state of meditation, whether that's music or incense or crystals or candles, whatever speaks to you. It's really good to do it at the same time in the same place because that sort of sets up a habit, although I know that's very difficult in our day and age to do that. Decide whether you want to use a pen or whether you want to use the keyboard. That's just a matter of preference. I always work with a fountain pen because I love the feel of the flow of the ink on the paper, although I think with future generations that's going to be more and more difficult as they begin to stop teaching cursive writing in schools. That's another topic. Then focus on your ideal. You know, what are you here? What are you all about? Go into a meditative state. So you just sit and have the paper on your lap, a pencil or pen in your hand, or you could, as I said, you could do it at the keyboard. Say a prayer of protection. Surround yourself with white light. I always do this when working with spirit. It's a very important step. And then finally, get ready to write. So you just trust the process. Get out of the way. Don't manipulate or force your words. Just sort of silently state or write your intent and keep your wrists loose and your eyes open halfway, and then allow the message to proceed. So I tell people, don't let your internal editor worry about spelling or grammar. So we're not, it's a stream of consciousness writing that we're looking for here. It's the, you don't have to cross your T's or dot your I's. Just let the writing go. And then if you can, wait before you read it, because it often has a new meaning if you just let it sit for a while. And then keep your writing safe, because it's a conversation you're having with God, actually. So that isn't something necessarily you want other people to be reading. But once you get all those steps done and you get into the habit of doing it, I tell first-timers, just start making loops. Just let the pen make ovals on the paper.
What kind of information, Joanne? Give us an example would come through.
Well, you can ask about just about anything. You know, if you're using it for generic purposes and not strictly past life, you can ask, you know, well, what is my mission in life? Why am I here? What did I come here to accomplish to move me to the next level of my soul's evolution? What special skills and talents did I bring with me? And how can I best apply them? You could ask questions about an illness. You're wondering what its source. If you're having issues with a person, you can ask what the source is of that. You know, if you're if you're feeling bitter toward anyone, if you're jealous, you know, do you feel something or someone is holding you back? Those are typically some of the questions that you can ask through this method of soul writing.
That's fascinating, the way that happens. I mean, does anything dramatically scary come through?
Not scary, profound, I would say. Surprising, definitely. But never anything scary. And if it is scary, then you may have crossed the line and gone over to the automatic writing end of it. Casey talked a lot about the difference between the two. And by the way, Edgar Casey used the term inspirational writing.
Yeah.
And I use the term soul writing, but it is the same thing. Because when he was talking about it in the 30s and 40s, it meant something completely different. Today, if you type in inspirational writing on Amazon, you're going to get all books in the Christian genre are going to pop up. If you type in automatic writing, you're going to get all the books in the occult will pop up. Mm-hmm. So neither one of those is what Casey was talking about when he was describing this process of writing.
Automatic writing is powerful. It's not like a Ouija board, right?
It's not like a Ouija board, but it has some similarities to it. And people use that term automatic writing without realizing what they're really talking about, because it's the more familiar term. It's something that has been used for well over 100 years, so people assume that that's what this is. But automatic writing is coming from an outside source, and Casey was concerned that there may be some low-level energies that are trying to come through. And when you open yourself up to this work, that's why the prayer of protection, the white light protection, is so important, just to safeguard you from any of these lower-level energies from coming through. With automatic writing, it's an outside source. You generally don't do the meditation. You have no awareness of what you're writing. You can't really control your hand. It happens by itself. The handwriting looks a lot different from your own. The prayer is omitted, and the information you get directs or impels you to do something. Whereas with inspirational writing, it's soul writing, it's coming from within, and it includes the meditation. You have a total awareness of what you're writing. You just allow and consciously watch the writing proceed. Your handwriting is pretty much the same as it is in a conscious state. You've got the added protection from your prayer and your white light. And most of all, your soul is being guided. It's being gently nudged to go in a different direction, as opposed to the automatic writing, which, as I said, could be demanding of you or directing you or impelling you to do something.
In your first book, Soul Writing, and then your second one, Your Soul Remembers, you use some heavy research of people and students. Tell me how you put that together, Joy.
Well, in the first book, I have a ARE chapter here in Virginia that I head up, and so I did a presentation and asked if anybody wanted to volunteer for this research project upon which I did my thesis, and that's how the soul writing came out, the first book came out. The second book, I also tapped into that same group of people, and also there were some people at my church, Unity of Charlottesville, and I said, you know, I'm looking for volunteers for this research project, and to show that you can use soul writing to get information about your past lives. So I had about 50 people that came forward were my happy volunteers. I designed a research project around it in which I did a traditional regression with them, but the script took them to a previous lifetime that was impacting them now. And when the regression was over, I had them stay in an altered state just to sit up. I put a journal on their lap and a pen in their hand. And then I had a journal myself because I was going to write alongside them. And I asked them, I said, ask your soul if there's any additional information it could give you that you did not get in the regression. And so they started to do the writing. I did the writing. Then we read what we each wrote to each other. And that was really where the transformations happened. The power, the soul writing was far greater than anything that I anticipated, it was one of those situations where Spirit sort of took my project over and had it go in a different direction. So in the book, I have the transcript of that regression session, their writing and my writing, and then, you know, how we put all that together. How did we make the parallel between the present life and the previous life, and what additional information came through the soul writing that they did not get in the regression that really helped them to move forward?
Once they get that information, what does it do in their present life? Does it change them? What happens?
It does. It gives them many of them have these tremendous aha moments. They've had questions for years about the reason behind a feeling or an issue that they were dealing with that they couldn't quite figure out. To them, it made perfect sense then. That's one of the comments that they all made, that, oh, now I understand. I didn't understand before. I didn't have the why part of it. Why is this happening? And then they did, and so many of them then were able to apply that information to their current lifetime and then move forward.
Shirley MacLaine was telling us that physicist Stephen Hawking believes that he's the reincarnated Sir Isaac Newton.
I heard that, yeah.
Maybe he is.
Could be.
Maybe he is. Now, how would we find out if he was, or how would he find out?
Well, I think especially if you're somebody...
hypnotherapy?
Through hypnotherapy, through a regression therapist would be able to help, as well as him putting together a lot of the pieces from his own life experience, memories that he had, dreams that he had, what he resonated to. So much evidence is there. You become a detective and you just start putting the pieces together. But the most powerful part of it would be through hypnotherapy, through a regression, but also through the soul writing too, to do some asking those questions from your soul and getting answers that way.
Does soul writing, once it starts, does it just keep flowing?
It does. It does. It knows. You instinctively know when to stop. You know when the message is over. So some people get it looks like poetry. Some people just get a word or two here and there. And some people get full sentences, and it could go on for pages. So there's no right or wrong way of doing it, the way it comes out, the way it flows out. So to me, it's as valuable to have a couple of lines as it is a couple of pages. And then the more you do it, the better you get at it. With practice, you could get something on a nightly basis.
Hey, Joanne, when we come back, I want to get more into your work, of course, that your soul remembers. See if there's anything startling that may have come about your research. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.